Oyez, oyez, the Honorable Supreme Court of Texas is now in session pursuant to adjournment.
Thank you, be seated.
This morning, the court has three clauses on its oral submission document. In the order in which they will be presented, they are as follows. Shannon Moore, individually, and by next friend Donald R. Moore, versus Brunswick Bowling and Billiards Corporation and others from Brazoria County. Bridgestone Firestone Incorporated versus Marilyn Glenn Jones and others from Dallas County. Lydia May Wilson and others versus Texas Parks and Wildlife Department from Blanco County. In each of these causes, the court has allotted 20 minutes for the petitioners and 20 minutes for the respondents to present oral argument. Petitioners may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by so advising the marshal of our court. The court will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each argument, and we will conclude these arguments before the noon break. The arguments are being recorded for the court's convenience. Should anyone desire to listen to a tape of the argument, you may make application with the clerk of our court. The court is now ready to hear from petitioner in Moore versus Brunswick Bowling and Billiards.
May it please the court, Mr. Capitol, for that argument
for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. Good morning, Your Honors, opposing counsel. We're here today to decide single issue, basically, whether or not the Federal Boating Safety Act precludes and preempts any state cause of action with regards to propeller guard cases or the failure to incorporate propeller guards on boats manufactured in the United States. The gist of the case is whether or not the Federal Boating Safety Act and the federal government, by declining to adopt any regulations with regards to the act, with regards to propeller guards, therefore prohibits and precludes and preempts anyone from bringing a lawsuit in any state or other court on the grounds that propeller guards should have been incorporated on a boat. We take the position as the plaintiffs in the underlying case in the state court that the act does not preempt such individual party action, and in fact the act actually states that such action is not prohibited in its own language. There's a savings clause in the statute which explicitly states that compliance with this chapter or standards, regulations or orders prescribed under this chapter does not relieve any person from liability at common law or under state law. That clearly evidences congressional intent that state court tort actions are not to be precluded simply by the mere compliance with the Federal Boating Safety Act provisions. That same savings clause is incorporated in the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Act, which the Fifth Circuit in Dorsey versus Honda has clearly stated does not preclude state action despite full compliance with that act's provisions. This is a case of first impression for this court, and in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court has not made any rulings in this area. There have been a number of federal courts that have decided this issue. There have been a number of state courts that have decided this issue, including the state Supreme Court in Florida, which has held that the Boating Safety Act does not preclude private causes of action.
Has any case on the issue of propeller guards supported your position? Any case that's been written that we have any opinions on dealing specifically with propeller guards on recreational boats supported your decision?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
Do you concede at some point that private litigation may have a disruptive impact on federal regulation in a particular field?
It could be disruptive, but we have to weigh it against the public good that can come from it. If there had not been for the plethora of litigation with regards to the lack of airbags in automobiles, I would say that we wouldn't have airbags in cars today.
So are we are we confronted with strictly a question of determining what Congress's intent was in passing the savings clause as part of this
Well, this case is kind of unique because I don't think it relies solely on whether or not the Congress said you could have state causes of action, because in this particular case, we don't even have a regulation that forbids the use of propelligors or any regulation that federal regulation that describes how or when or in what manner propelligors are to be incorporated in motorboats. And therefore, I would submit to the court that we don't even get to the basic issue about whether there's been compliance with the federal regulation by Mercury Marine and VIP boats in this particular case. They didn't comply with any regulation in the manufacture of the boats because simply the federal government has declined to put into force and effect any regulations one way or the other about propelligors. The Coast Guard did not adopt the conclusions and rationale and reasoning of the propelligor subcommittee in making their decision. All they did was adopt the recommendation to not make any regulations at this time. But they did it for different reasons. They did it because they weren't sure what to do yet. And they said, expressly stated that they intended to continue investigation in the area, intended to continue to gather statistics, continue to investigate whether or not they were feasible, both from an engineering standpoint and from an economic standpoint, and simply decided not to do anything. The federal government decided not to intervene in this area.
If you if you assume that the evidence was equivocal at best as to whether or not the benefits of the propeller guards outweighed the detriment to the controllability of this recreational craft, if that's equivocal, couldn't the determination not to regulate be really a determination that the board would err either in regulating against propeller guards or regulating in favor of propeller guards, and such that under the circumstances in this particular issue, their determination not to regulate was because they could not determine that it would be in people's best interest to have propeller guards, and they could not determine it would be in their best interest to regulate against propeller guards. If you see what I'm saying, in other words, in some circumstances, I guess deciding not to regulate would say, well, let's see what other people say about it. But couldn't this be the fact that because of the record before them, they felt it best not to do anything about the propeller guard and to leave that just kind of hands off for the time being?
That's exactly my point. They have decided to leave their hands off of the issue. Therefore, that leaves it up to the states to come in and toward actions and the state to come in and do what they think is best, because the act specifically says that the only thing that's prohibited from the states doing is to issue regulations that are contrary to regulations that the federal government issues. Since there is no regulation, you can't possibly have a conflict by regulating.
How do you respond to the argument used by the judges in the cases that have decided against you on this issue that the tort law is a form of regulation itself? Jury awards on the issue of there should have been a propeller guard is in effect a regulation in that state requiring propeller guards on the boat, and a determination by the regulatory body that there should not be regulations on that issue. Doesn't that create the conflict that you say doesn't exist?
No, because the act specifically leaves to the states the power to regulate that which the federal government decided has made no decision on regulation. That is the only prescription against state regulation, is that it will conflict with an actual regulation of the federal government. Here we don't have a regulation, therefore the state tort action or state law, if Texas wanted to enact a law that said all boats in the state of Texas are going to have propeller guards and these are our regulations, I would submit that the state of Texas has that power to do so. absent the federal government saying, no, we are going to step in now, and we are going to set forth certain regulations about propeller guards, or we're going to put up a regulation that absolutely says no propeller guards shall be required on any boat manufactured and sold in the United States.
If they did the latter?
Yes.
Could you sue?
I think you could still sue. I think under the savings clause, you could conceivably sue. That's my argument.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to your argument whether they have made regulations or not. Your view of the statute is they cannot preempt the lawsuit.
I think when you take the Dorsey versus Honda case that the Fifth Circuit has issued, you take Cipollone, you take some other cases like Roulette, you see that liability under common law has been reserved by the savings clause. The court in Dorsey versus Honda specifically went into this and said the evidence of compliance goes to whether or not it goes to the issue of whether, you know, it can go to sort of a good faith. It could possibly preclude punitive damages because it shows that you complied with these types of things, but it doesn't preclude a finding.
But if in your, as you have suggested, the regulation were that there should be no propeller guards and you comply with that, your view is you could still be held liable in the lawsuit.
Theoretically, yes. I think you'd have a very difficult burden to overcome because I think that evidence of what the state, of what the federal government says about it would probably be overwhelming evidence to overcome to a jury. But the point is, I still think you have a right to have a jury decide that issue. We've had it with airbag claims. The federal government has given has said you put airbags, you put in seatbelts, yet many courts have allowed airbag suits.
Aren't there at least four federal circuits that have gone the other way in the airbag cases?
Yes, but there are many that have gone, you know, the problem is the U.S. Supreme Court hasn't decided what they're going to do about that conflict.
Your interpretation of the savings clause provision would appear to conform with a plain reading of it, but is there any legislative history concerning the meaning of that?
As cited by Justice O'Connor in page 4 of the decision, and as part of her dissent, she cites the legislative history. It says, this section is the committee amendment and is intended to clarify that compliance with the Act or standards, regulations, or order promulgated thereunder does not relieve any person from liability at common law or under state law. The purpose of this section is to assure that in a product liability suit, mere compliance by a manufacturer with the minimum standards promulgated under the Act will not be a complete defense to liability. That is cited there, and it comes from Senate Report Number 248, 92nd Congress, First Section, Section 40 in 1971. That gives us clear legislative intent that Congress did not intend to bar products liability claims. They merely wanted to set some minimum standards, but as technology improves, if people can come in and prove that the federal government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, is not protecting the general public, then we have to resort on private individuals to come forward and show by jury verdicts to manufacturers that there are safer ways to do things and that by those verdicts, they're going to force the manufacturers to make safer boats, safer products, such as, there's no better example, again, than airbags in cars. Lee Iacocca was probably the most outspoken person against airbags being put in cars. The public doesn't want it. We don't need it. It's not going to do any good. Blah, 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 blah. Yet now, he's on TV touting how wonderful the Chrysler Corporation is to everybody and how much they care about our safety because they're the first people to put airbags in minivans. He didn't do it because anybody in the federal government forced him to do it. He did it because juries said that airbags were technically feasible, economically feasible, and they saved lives. And the jury verdicts made it economically viable lacrosse leaders say, well, we'd have to pay for a bunch of people that are dead and maimed, or we put the airbags in the cars and we save that money. And that's the same thing with propeller guards. If jury verdicts start doing it, then the federal government can step in and make the regulations that they feel are necessary to set some minimum standards on them. But someone has to do it. And it should be remembered that the only time a propeller guard case has gone to a jury that I know of, that jury found that propeller guards were feasible and that it was product liability to not incorporate them, and that's in the Elliott case, which was overturned because the federal appeals court panel stepped in and decided to become the fact finder in the case. And I dare say that does not happen in the state of Texas under our laws and under the way we do things here. You would not expect the appellate court to step in and become the fact finder and overrule the jury verdict. There's no preemption by conflict here because there's no law to be conflicting with. There's no implied preemption because the Senate clearly allowed for tort suits despite whatever the law says. There's the McMillan case cited by my opponents supports our position along with the Turner versus General Motors case, I think. The McMillan case involved the formaldehyde in manufactured housing, but that statute has a different savings clause. It absolutely preempts any action, state tort action, state liability suit action, any kind of action, as long as you comply with those standards. We do not have that in this case. And I think that if Congress intended that to be the law, then they would have put it in this statute, too, on the in this act. They would have specifically prohibited any action that conflicts with the federal regulations. My time is up.
Any questions? Thank you. The court is ready to hear argument from respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. Lewis.
May it please the court, counsel, justices. I'm Jim Lewis with the firm Glover, Anderson, Chandler, and Usick, and I represent the respondent, the Mercury Division of Brunswick. I'll refer to them as Mercury, and I'll refer to the petitioner as the Moores. For purposes of this oral argument, I also represent the interests of Vivian Plastics, the other respondent. First, I'd like to start off by correcting a couple of things that were mentioned by Mr. Pastor. The McMillan decision concerns the nearly identical preemption provision as well as the nearly identical savings provision. In fact, I don't even think there's a word different in the savings provision. Secondly, the cases, propeller guard cases, have been tried 20 times. These were before the report of the propeller guard subcommittee. There have been 2 jury verdicts in against the manufacturers and 18 in favor of the manufacturer, including one tried by my partner and I. The airbag cases did not arise out of litigation, for one thing. The airbag, the installation of airbags, it arose out of a technological advance. And in Texas, the airbag cases are in favor of preemption, including a recent 1993 decision, the Mars versus Ford Motor Company case at 852 Southwest 2nd 570. In addition to the Mars case, Bass case, and Howard case cited in the briefs. The 4 published decisions discussing this precise issue are in the books, and all held in favor of federal preemption. The Maury, Farner, and Shields versus OMC cases are cited in the brief, but there is one other since the submission of the briefs, and that is Shield versus Bayline, which is at 822 Federal Supplement 81. The holdings of all 4 of these decisions, in addition to the dicta in Elliott versus Brunswick, are exactly consistent with Mercury's position in this case. There are no decisions holding to the contrary.
What does the savings clause language say?
It says that the Basically, the idea of it is that minimum standards, if you just meet the minimum standards of an act, the common law causes of action are going to be saved.
What are the minimum standards?
Here, it is not a minimum standards case. There is no minimum standard. It's either regulations are allowed or they are prohibited. There's only one decision.
So if they've required a certain kind of propeller guard and you just satisfied that, you could still be sued for not meeting a higher standard that was deemed appropriate by a jury in Texas?
Yes, for instance, if they had certain strength tests for propeller guards.
Right.
If they said that they have to be so rigid or so pliable, and they just barely met the requirements, but didn't go beyond the requirements, then you could be sued.
Well, if they went beyond the requirements, but not sufficiently beyond the requirements to meet what a jury thought to be a reasonable level of safety in Texas, would it be preempted?
Well, in those cases where it's just going to the minimum requirements, that's going to be a factual question. If it goes well beyond, I imagine that will be a question of fact.
For the jury?
Yes.
So the problem we have here is that if they had enacted a regulation on propeller guards, we wouldn't be here today. There clearly would not be a preemption.
Well, actually, they have enacted a regulation on propeller guards, and that regulation says that regulations requiring propeller guards are prohibited. If they had enacted a regulation stating that...
The regulation says that regulations requiring are prohibited?
The regulation itself is the Federal Boat Safety Act in conjunction with the report of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee. The report of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee says that the U.S. Coast Guard should take no regulatory action to require propeller guards. And since the U.S. Coast Guard...
That does not prohibit propeller guards, does it?
But it does, because Section 4302 of the Act gives the Coast Guard the exclusive authority to make regulations requiring equipment. And Section 4306 of the Act states that a state may not enforce any law or regulation imposing a requirement for associated equipment that is not identical to the prescription of a regulation under the Act.
I'll go back to my original question then. What does the savings clause say?
The savings clause states that this shall not inhibit the, it's the site of the actual savings clause is in the brief, and states that...
I think his question is, what does it save?
Oh, what does it save?
It would meaningless. Save. It's just meaningless verbiage under
no,
the
in fact,
definition of the act.
It saves the vast majority of causes of action against boat manufacturers, but not on a particular issue where they have actually examined the issue and determined that there should be no regulation. For instance, it saves causes of action regarding railing requirements. It saves causes of action for negligent operation of boats. It saves causes of action regarding almost all other aspects of boats that haven't been specifically addressed by Congress.
The Act does, and there are no regulations. What the Act does.
Excuse me?
What the Act does is prohibit regulations that require propeller guards. That's what the Act does, isn't it? It prohibits
yes.
regulations requiring propeller guards.
Exactly.
It does not address at all whether propeller guards might be advisable as a protective measure. It says you can't require them. It doesn't mean that if they're not required, they're still not might not be advisable, and you might not have a cause of action for the failure to use one, does it?
Well,
you can't require it, but if a designer wants to put it on there and a boat owner wants to use it as a protective measure to prevent little girls' arms from being cut off, then there's nothing wrong with that. They can do that. Their failure to do that, a jury might find under particular circumstances, was negligence.
Now, since regulations prohibiting a requirement for propeller guards is enacted under the Act, a jury verdict penalizing a manufacturer for failure to install a propeller guard certainly would be a regulation that's prohibited.
Wait, is the failure to use everything that's not required prohibiting, does a failure to use anything that's not required by law preclude a cause of action for the failure to use it under given circumstances?
No, when a regulation prohibits a regulation requiring propeller guards, and the jury verdict would, in effect, be a regulation requiring propeller guards, it is preempted by federal law. We are not saying, and that's a clarification I should make, we are not saying that the use of propeller guards is prohibited. We are saying that regulations requiring the use of propeller guards are prohibited.
The failure to use one, since it's not prohibited, might well be negligence under given set of circumstances.
Whether it is or not is precluded by federal regulation because there can be
regulation. The only thing the statute says is you can't make a regulation requiring their use. It doesn't say you can't use them. And it doesn't say you might not be negligent for failure to use them.
But it does say that regulations requiring their use are prohibited.
I give you that.
And
it still doesn't mean they might not be negligent for failure to use them.
But a jury...
It's their option. They can take them. They pay their money and they take their chance.
I may be understanding what you were saying earlier a little bit differently. If I understood your comments, they were to the effect, really, that this is a fairly narrow area of federal preemption.
This is a very narrow federal
And that if this same committee had concluded that a propeller guard was appropriate and had had passed a regulation and it became, had the force of law, and even though Mercury met that regulation, if someone concluded, an expert witness, that this particular propeller guard should have been a higher standard, there would have been no federal preemption. That would have been a fact question for a jury.
Conceivably, if it was a minimum standards type case, if they determined, if they only met the minimum standards required, then yes, in that case, the savings clause could save the cause of action.
And what I'm not understanding, this may tie in a little with Justice Gamage's last question, you say, though, that if they study the issue and no regulation is generated, then there is preemption.
No. If they study the issue and determine and make a ruling that no regulation is authorized, as in this case, or that any regulation requiring propeller guards is prohibited, then there is federal preemption. If they simply do not address the issue, there is not federal preemption.
So this subcommittee had never studied this alleged safety problem, then there wouldn't be any preemption.
In fact, that's the case. That's why these cases did not arise until after the report of the propeller guard subcommittee was adopted by the United States Department of Transportation as federal law.
So it's only where you study a safety problem and you do not recommend a regulation that you have preemption.
It's where Congress or a federal agency address an issue and determine that no regulation is appropriate, as in this case, that you have federal preemption.
Let's put it on a factual. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. I'm a boat owner. I've got some waterfront property, and I decide to buy a new motor for my boat. And I go in, and I'm looking at some, and some have these propeller guards on. And I say, what is that? And the salesman says, that's a propeller guard. I say, well, is that handy? What does it do? So, well, you know, some people like them. If they're going to be operating their boats in areas where there are swimmers or children, perhaps, they like them. Now, you lose a little control of your boat. You can't control it quite as well when you have this in it. And, you know, if you try to handle it the same way with a propeller guard that you would handle it without a propeller guard, you might even cause some injuries to people in the boats. But as the other danger carries more weight with some boat owners, and because of where they're going to be operating their boats, so they'd rather have the propeller guard than the extra control. Does the law require people to have it? No. Matter of fact, there's a law that says nobody can make you put one on. Some people still prefer them because it's safer where they operate their boats to have them. that avoids what they consider the greater danger. Gee, how much does it cost? Well, it costs X dollars more. I lose a little control, right? Well, I got a lot of kids around my place, but, you know, what the heck? I haven't hit anybody with it yet, you know. I don't think I'll get it. I go out the first time I operate the boat with a new motor. I cut some kid's leg off. Am I liable?
Not other than
Am
for your negligence.
Am I personally liable? Is the manufacturer liable? Under those circumstances where you make it available and you advise the purchaser, perhaps the liability wouldn't fall on the manufacturer.
Nor on the individual for failure to choose the propeller guard. The liability may be against the individual, as in this case, the cause of action still exists for negligent operation of the boat.
Yeah.
But there would be no cause of action for the failure to install a propeller guard on that boat. And again, this is a very narrow ruling here, a very narrow position, and perhaps I caused some confusion at the Court of Appeals.
Can you explain what the federalism principle is behind your explanation of Judge Doggett? That when the federal government appoints a committee and they do years of study and they say you need this type of metallurgy in a particular part of the boat or side rails of this size, and so you read those federal regulations and you build your boat that way and you get sued for not doing more. And that's okay, you say. Congress thought that was just fine under a savings clause. Here, where they say we're not going to require something at all, it's not okay. That decision, if the federal government says, no, we shouldn't require this in all cases, their balance is both ways, so the federal government isn't going to require it, that type of decision cannot be questioned later by a state regulatory agency or fact finders on the jury. I don't see why those two situations are different. Or if they are different, I don't see why the regulations of specific height, metallurgy, et cetera, wouldn't be more compelling to a boat manufacturer that we should be able to do this and have some degree of confidence that we won't be held accountable.
First of all, it depends on the wording of the savings provision as well as the preemption provision. In this case, the preemption provision, which I believe that the Moores are reading out of the Act and nullifying, and I challenge them to tell you how you can read them consistently with each other and yet preserve the Moores claims. That is, the preemption provision together with the report of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee consistently with the savings provision and preserve the Moores claim. Because here, the federal preemption provision says that a state may not establish or enforce a law or regulation imposing a requirement for associated equipment that is not identical to a regulation prescribed under the Act. And then under Section 4302, the Propeller Guard Subcommittee determined that there should be no regulations requiring propeller guards. The Moores apparently contend that since the U.S. Coast Guard, the one with the exclusive authority to make regulations requiring associated equipment, is the only one prohibited from requiring that equipment, that every jury in every county in every state can require it. Here, if a jury requires it, it is a regulation that it is required in direct conflict with the federal regulation.
Is your position that the regulation prohibits these protectors because they're unsafe?
No. My position, the position of Mercury, is not that the use of propeller guards is prohibited. The position of Mercury is that regulations requiring the use of propeller guards are prohibited.
Well, don't you have to come to the conclusion that the way you read this, the regulation is saying they're unsafe, therefore if there was a regulation requiring them, that would be in conflict?
No, the specific regulation says that there should be no regulatory action taken to require propeller guards. Now, the report of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee discusses how they are not feasible and provide a larger striking area and provide a situation
and
like a meat grinder. What?
And that they're in.
It does discuss that, but they do have their limited uses. As a matter of fact, the U.S. Coast Guard uses propeller guards on its inflatable life-saving craft that are very slow-moving, that don't have to take tight turns, and are for crowded beaches. There are limited uses for propeller guards, and Mercury doesn't intend to prohibit those uses. The point of the regulation is that regulations requiring the use of propeller guards is prohibited.
And in your answer then would be to Justice Phillips' question, that if the metal should be at least so strong, but you could make it stronger and therefore better, meeting the minimum standard might not absolve you from liability. But if in this case, adding propeller guards causes problems as well as solving problems, then there might be a federal interest in not having any regulation at all.
Exactly, and more specifically to the point, the propeller guards, as you know, they can't make them too rigid and can't make them too flexible. Because if they're too flexible, they can't withstand the pressure of going through water at high speeds, and if they're too rigid, they're going to be just as dangerous as a propeller. And so here, there can't be a minimum standard. You can't require them on recreational vessels because they do create new hazards. But they do have their limited uses.
What was the rationale of the Florida Supreme Court in this case?
Oh, the Florida Supreme Court did not rule regarding propeller guards at all. The rationale of the Florida Supreme Court ruled on other equipment that was actually installed. I believe you're talking about the Rubin case. That was a start-in gear mechanism where there was actually an allegation of a design defect for equipment that was actually installed. And they ruled that there was no direct conflict between the Federal Boat Safety Act and this cause of action because, unlike this case, there was no comprehensive report stating that there should be no regulation requiring the mechanism which the plaintiff suggested. There was simply the Federal Boat Safety Act. Just like in this case, if the Federal Boat Safety Act was standing alone, we wouldn't be here right now. If you only have the act itself without the report of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee, because then there would be no federal preemption. Because it did not address the issue. And that's what the Moores cite all of the time, are cases where they say that here's a case where federal preemption could not apply. Well, that's a case where the issue involved was never addressed by Congress or any government agency. And both the Rubin and Mulhern cases are exactly that situation where it was an allegation of a defect of a piece of equipment that was actually installed.
Mr. Lewis, how could an argument be made, however, that under the report of the subcommittee, that because it's conflicting as to whether the propeller guard is more safe or less safe or problematic, that the subcommittee is saying, federal agency, you don't make a regulation on this? And could an argument be made that we'll see how the states or even the tort system handles it? Could an argument be made that let's let a jury hear these scientists give their stories and let the jury decide which science is more right? Couldn't that be an argument on this subcommittee report that you all don't make a regulation? We're undecided. We can't tell whether it's more safe or less safe, and let's just see what the tort system does with it. Could that be an argument made on this?
No, because they aren't undecided. They decided that no regulatory action should be taken by the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard, under Section 4302, is the only one authorized to take action requiring the associated equipment. And in this case, it's not an applicable argument, especially in light of the rest of the Propeller Guard Subcommittee report. I see that my time is up. While we do sympathize with the Moores, Mercury has no responsibility for this accident. The cause of action is preempted by federal regulation, and we ask that you affirm the majority decision of the lower court.
Thank you, counsel.
How does the Florida case relate to this one?
In the Florida cases, one of which involved a seat design that absolutely complied with the federal law, minimum standards, and there was no argument about that. Florida court, the people still had a right to sue. course, went to the savings clause. Goes right along with Dorsey versus Honda, where the same thing, that there was no question that the Honda people complied with all the, it appears to me they complied with all the federal laws and regulations regarding the building of the car, but it was still found to be a defective product. And the Court of the Fifth Circuit absolutely said the plaintiff had a right to sue despite the compliance with the statute.
But respondent argues that this is different because propeller guards have create problems as well as solve problems, and therefore there could be a federal policy that you not have a regulation either way because doing so creates its own set of problems, as opposed to making a seat strong.
Well, the federal government could have done that. They didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They didn't take that action. What the opposition in this case, what Mercury Marine is consistently trying to say is that the Coast Guard adopted the subcommittee report. The Coast Guard did not adopt the subcommittee report. It did not adopt their conclusions and findings. What it did was simply agree with one recommendation that was to do nothing at this time. And what the Coast Guard position was is set forth on the first page of the letter from to Mr. Newell Garden, Chairman, National Boating Safety Advisory Council. The Coast Guard's position was that the regulatory process is very structured and stringent regarding justification. There were arguments both ways. They didn't feel like anyone had presented a conclusive case one way or the other to require them, and they felt like more investigation was needed, and they were going to decline to issue any federal regulation saying propeller guards are unsafe, unnecessary, uneconomically feasible, or that they are safe, necessary, economically, and engineering feasible.
You do concede that under your view of the law, a boat manufacturer could be sued for putting propeller guards on.
I suppose if somebody wants to take position to Mercury Marine that they're unsafe.
Well, I mean, if they're put on and for whatever reason they cause an accident due to lack of maneuverability.
Well,
et cetera, that type of suit would be
theoretically that's a problem. But you know, the point is that is that's for a jury to decide. That's not for Mercury Marine to come in here and say you don't have the right to even exercise your constitutional rights under the Texas and U.S. constitutions, which absolutely give you the right to let a jury of your peers decide these issues. They just want to take that away and say that a few members of a subcommittee who decide to do nothing, or the Coast Guard decides to do nothing, absolutely precludes your right from ever getting an answer to the question. Obviously, it's much easier for Mercury Marine and manufacturers to control and obfuscate the regulatory process with a few regulators than it is to control 175 or 200 million people that are potential jurors in the United States. And obviously, they have a very big interest in keeping the regulators from doing anything.
Are there any regulations that prevent, that say, do not do this because it is unsafe, do not use this material?
I'm sure there are, Your Honor. I couldn't cite you anything, but I'm sure there are people that someday will probably sue a car manufacturer for putting an airbag in the car because when it exploded, the gases burned their face. And they're going to sue them for the way in which that airbag's in there, even though it may meet federal regulations.
Isn't
they have a right to bring that cause of action. Whether they can convince a jury that the product would be safe, the car would be safer without the airbag, is what lawsuits are about. I dare say that they're going to have a tough time convincing a jury of that. And whether I would take such a case is doubtful, but whether some other lawyer might, can't say. But that's why we have a jury system. That's why we have a civil court system in the United States, to resolve these disputes and not to let a few bureaucrats decide what's safe and what isn't safe for everyone. That's why Congress put the savings clause in there, because they never intended to abrogate the public's right to have a jury decide the issue of products liability just because you comply with some regulation.
Why isn't what you just said about jury's role in deciding contested cases about the advisability of these propeller guards consistent with the respondent's argument that this has been preempted by federal law so as to allow some uniformity and predictability for manufacturers of these products that are going to be dangerous under many different sets of circumstances?
Because in this particular case, Congress expressed its intent not to do that. Not, you know, they knew very well that this could cause some confusion, yet Congress specifically said in the legislative history, it doesn't matter. The purpose of this section is to assure that in a product liability suit, mere compliance by a manufacturer with the minimum standard promulgated under the Act will not be a complete defense to liability. They knew that this could be a problem. They didn't care. They decided that it was more important to have people's rights to a jury trial and to a jury, because they don't trust the regulators any more than I do, you know, to always do the right thing and always look at it. My time is up. I would like to say one last thing, if I might. A jury verdict is not a regulation requiring Propeller Guards. It is merely a decision that still leaves the decision up to the manufacturer as to whether or not it wants to incorporate them and save the money that it might have to spend in paying out judgments, and which one is more economically feasible for them. Put the Propeller Guards in, or save the money when you get, and save paying a personal injury judgment, or save the personal injury judgment and pay the expense of putting on a Propeller Guard. Mercury Marine.
Any questions? I think
is that
your point.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the first call. The court will take a brief recess.
Yeah.